श्री चैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदामयं तदति स्वावरंदिगं अरदनश्च नन्दन्ताय वृदं यच्चे पुनः पुनः श्रीमारूपपदाम्बुजो धूलिस्यां जन्मजन्मनि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौड़ हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे यत्र व्रजादिपे पुरा प्रतिमा प्रकाश प्रसाद मूढ़कलशो परिनित्यरंगी बाहिक्षते भुविजया ध्वजखेतुभूतो नन्दीशरं समरमन्दं मुदं ददातु. This is one verse from Viswanath Chakravarti Pad's Nandishwar Astakam. So now we've come to Nandagraham. So he describes very nicely the vision of Nandagraham. Especially if you're sitting in Brindakund, this is exactly what you see. Yatra vrajadipe pura pratima prakasha. Yatra, in that place, Yatra vrajadipe, the king of Braj, his pura. Pur means, just like this is Mayapur. And we know Jagannath Puri. Pur means city. Yatra vrajadipe pura apratima. It is incomparable. You cannot compare it to anything. Apratima. It's like we make an image of something that is called pratima. But this apratima, this unparalleled. You cannot make any comparisons. Yatra vrajadipe pura pratima prakasha. You know prakash. Shining. In that place, the very beautiful, the city of Nanda Maharaj is shining. Yatra vrajadipe pura pratima prakasha prasada mura kalaso parinitarangi. So there's a big palace. On top of the palace there's domes. On top of the domes there's kalas. Prasada mura kalaso pari, kalas upari. Kalas, even on top of the kalas, nitarangi, something is always dancing. What is that? Bahikshate buvijaya dvajaketu bhuto. Barhi means peacock. Ikshate, it is seen. Peacocks are seen dancing there. And what else? Bahikshate buvi jaya dvaj. You know Jayadvaj, this is also just like Jayapataka. Jayadvaj means victory flag. But not just ordinary, but with Jayadvaj Ketubhuta, very, very extraordinary victory flag. In fact, when we're sitting, we've not seen peacocks dancing, but at least we can see that victory flag from Brindakund flying, dancing on top of the kalas. Parikshate Bhuvijaya Dvaja Ketubhuta Nandi saram samaramannam mudam dadatu. May that Nandeshwar Parvat give me unlimited amounts of happiness. So now we've come to Nandagram. So this hill, just like Barsana was the incarnation of Tulsi?
Brahma,
everybody told you. So this hill is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. He performed many, many thousands of years of penances. What type of years? Demigod years. You know how long demigod year is? Their day is 6 months of our year, and their night is 6 months of our year. And you take 360 of those days, that makes 1 year of the demigods, and thousands of those years Lord Shiva performed penances and austerities. Lord Krishna appeared and asked what benediction he wanted. He said, I know at end of Dwapar Yug you're going to display your pastimes in Braj, so maybe I could become, you know, a hill or maybe a stone. He thought, maybe I'm asking too much, maybe just a stone, or just some dust. On the pathway, maybe some resident of Braj will come and step on my head. And Lord said, why become a dust or stone? You become a big hill, and my father will make his palace on top of your hill. So this is known as Nandeshwar Parvat. And Nanda Maharaj's palace is shining on top of that hill. So yesterday we were at another place, Nanda Maharaj's Betak. So Betak means sitting place, it also means place for having meetings. So one time Upananda, he called all of the coward men together in a Betak meeting. And he said, when he got all the Brijbasis together, I said, I suppose you're all wondering why I've called you here today. But you may remember that Garga Rishi, at the name-giving ceremony, he mentioned that this Krishna is not an ordinary child. He may be some elevated demigod. He may be even an expansion of Lord Vishnu. Garga Rishi hinted that he would have qualities exactly like Lord Vishnu. So, in view of all of these things, and we've seen that he's an extraordinary child. He's killed so many demons that nobody could have possibly killed. He lifted up to 7 years old, he lifted this hill of Govardhan with his left hand. It's just impossible to believe all these things. So he must be some type of elevated demigod or yogi or something. So in view of all these things, it is imperative that Madhya Yasoda stop pulling his ears, chasing him with sticks, tying him with ropes, calling him a thief, and all of these things like this. And Nanda Maharaj said, now wait a minute. I don't know what you're talking about when you say my son is some sort of elevated being. Because we see that even ordinary living entities, ordinary human beings, they can control their senses. But this Lala, he has to eat 50 times a day, and if the milk is not hot enough, if there's not enough sugar in the sweets, what a temper tantrum he gets. All day long he eats, he can't control it. Even Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, they were able to perform great penances and austerities, but this guy, all day long he eats and eats, he's never satisfied. Now this is the activities of a great personality? He's some demigod, you say? Then why is it that at night time when there's thunder and lightning in the sky, he comes running into my room and jumps under the covers with me and huddles up to me scared and frightened? Or if he has a bellyache, then he comes to Maya Yasoda, sits in her lap, and he cannot be satisfied until she cuddles him and coos all over him. This is a great demigod? This is some yogi? And talk about thief! There's no bigger thief in the whole of Braj. He's always stealing this, he's always stealing that, and what to speak of thief, he's such a liar. You ask him, did he eat mud? No, he didn't eat mud. Like that. You ask him, did he steal the butter? No, he didn't steal the butter. Were you harassing the gopis? I wasn't even in the area. And to make matters worse, he brags about things he never did, and he lies about things he did do. I mean, how can you say, if this is the way an elevated personality acts, I don't want to have anything to do with being an elevated personality. You just don't understand. And thinking about remembering all of these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, he lost his gravity. He said, he's such a rascal, you don't understand. He began to laugh, thinking about all those wonderful pastimes. He just started laughing. you don't understand. You don't understand. He's such a rascal. And all the Brijbasis, they all started laughing. Nobody could catch their breath, their bellies were aching. Everyone was just thinking about Krishna's wonderful pastime. Finally, somehow or other, they managed to stop laughing, but somebody. Everyone started started laughing again and again. And they forgot what the meeting was all about. And why they'd all been called there. They were only remembering Krishna, and that's really the only reason we should call meetings together, just to discuss Krishna Katha. So this is Nanda Betak and Nanda Kund. Now just down the road, as we're coming to Nandagram, we're getting to Nandagram, there's a little place called Yasodakund. Because later we'll see there's a big place called Pavan Sarovar, but it's always filled with so many people and men and everything. So Mother Yasoda, she wants to have her own little private kund for bathing and during a puja. So she's got this little place called Yasodakund. Now just nearby is a place called Hau Bilau. So sometimes Mother Yasoda, she's sitting by Yasodakund doing her puja or doing the laundry or something, and she told Lala, Dur Kelan ma jao lalban hawai. The Lala, don't go Kelan, don't go playing far in the forest. Dur. You know, dur means very far away. Just like there's one forest of Braj, it's so far away. It's in South Africa, Durban. That is the Durban. So Dur Kelan Majao, don't go playing, don't go to Durban, whatever you do. Dur Kelan Majao, Lalban, how I lal, in the forest, a how has come. And Lala says, Oh Maya, what is this how? I never seen it anyhow. And Mother Yasoda says, he has great big eyes and long sharp teeth and big curved claws, and his mouth is so big he'll eat you up in one bite. So then Lala, he was frightened and he played close by. But since we know that little boys have such long memories, don't they? He again started going very far in the forest, and Mother Yasoda, Lala, don't go far in the forest. Huh? How is going to get you? And Lala said, Arey Maya, I never seen any how. What is this how? I never seen it anyhow. And Mother Yasoda said, he has a big, great big nose to sniff you with, and big pointy ears, and big yellow teeth, and his mouth is so big, he'll eat you up in one bite. Then Lala again, he became frightened. So he played nearby. Then again, since little boys have such wonderful memories, he started again going far in the forest, and Mother said, Lala, don't go far in the forest, how is going to get you? Arey Maya, I never seen it anyhow, what is this how? Says Lala, he has huge black claws, and a big mane around his head, and yellow beady eyes and long sharp teeth, and he'll catch you with those claws and tear you apart and eat you up. Arey Maya, you're just telling stories. I've been all over the place. I never seen such a being. Jamuna tat pe denu charai teni dekho how. I went all over the Jamuna tat, the bank of the Jamuna, denu charai, with my herding my cows. I didn't see any how. Bain patal kaliyadame nami mavi na dekho how. I jumped in that Kaliya lake one time. I went all the way down to Patala Loka. I never saw any how there. Anywhere I never saw this how. Then suddenly Mother Yasoda, she made her eyes very big and she said, well, don't look now, but here comes one. And she started running, and Lala started running, and Balaram started running, and all the cowboys all started running, and they all ran back to Nandabhavan, and Mother Yasoda bathed them, and they sat down with Nanda Maharaj, and with seeing breath, they told Nanda Maharaj how we just missed by a hair's breadth getting eaten by a howl. So this is Hau Bilau. If you go there, there's so many hows are still there. I asked one Bishop Basi, did you ever see a how? He said, oh, Pali Bote. He said, before there were so many. So, as we come up the toward Nandagram, then on the right side, there's a little temple of Nisringadev. And this is the most sweetest little deity of Nisringadev you'll ever see. Beautiful little yellow deity of Nisringadev that was Nanda Maharaj's personal deity. of Nrisimhadev. And now we go up to Nanda Bhavan. This is the house of, palace rather, of Nanda Maharaj. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago, when he was doing his Braj Prakrama, he came to Nandagram. It's related there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He asked everyone, are there any deities in this village? And they said, on top of this hill there's a cave. Inside that cave there's a very strong man. And beside him there's a very dainty lady. And between them there's a small child. And it describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu climbed the hill. And you can see the picture is there. He began to caress the body of that beautiful child. Because now we go there, we see Nanda Maharaj with a big pagri, a big turban on top of his head, and little Mother Yasoda beside him, and we see Krishna and Balaram, both are there. And if you see them, they're both dressed exactly the same, and both of them are black. Because Balaram is the older brother, he likes to protect Krishna, so he smears black kajal all over his face so that he looks just like Krishna, he dresses just like Krishna. Now the reason the Brijbasis isn't told that they're dressed exactly the same is that Krishna and Balaram, they're just few days apart. That Purnima, that Balaram Purnima, that's the last day, that's Shravan Purnima, the last day of the month of Shravan. Then Bhadra month comes. And on the eighth day after the, in the month of Bhadra, Astami, that is Janmastami. So just hardly a week apart. So they're almost like twins. And we see even in this material world, sometimes when people have twins, right, they dress them both the same. Isn't it? Now the other reason the Brijbasis told me is that if they dress Krishna and Balaram differently, then they just fight. No, no, I want Dauji's turban. No, 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 I want Lala's sash. No, 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 I want his dhoti. No, no, I want his flute. No, 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 I want his shirt. No, 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 I want his... They just fight each other. So they dress them exactly the same. All these different bhavs are there for seeing Krishna and Balaram all dressed the same. And then we'll see on the left side of... on our left side of the altar, in a little corner, we'll see Srimati Radharani is there. Now why is she in Nandagram? Because one time Durvas Muni, we heard about Durvas Muni before, this big fierce sadhu, big jata on top of his head, big long beard, carrying his stick for putting on the ground and chanting his japa. He has his funny stick in his hand. So he came to Braj. And all the gopikas, when they saw this fierce sadhu, they all ran away except for Srimati Radhika. And she told Baba, Baba, Beto, Beto, Baba, sit down, Baba. And then she made a little chula. Chula means little oven. You know, you go in Braj, you'll see. They just, or even here you can see in the village, they just, little clay like this. They have a little place where they put the twigs in like this. And they put their pots on top and cook like this. But she made just a little clay one out of clay. And then she made little pots and pans out of clay, and she made little clay puris and little clay ladus and all things. She just like little girls, sometimes they play like their kitchen. They're doing kitchen. So even in village they play like this. So she made all these little clay things, and she brought a little tali to Durvas Muni. And she told him, Lelo Baba, take Baba, take Baba, take Baba. And Durvas Muni thought, well, she's just playing, you know. He said, no, that's all right, Lali. It's okay, Lali. It's okay. No, 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 Baba, Lelo. She took one of those ladus, those clay ladus, and she pushed it in Durvas Muni's mouth. And when Durvas Muni tasted that ladu, it was so sweet and so incredible and so luscious and just melted in his mouth. And just from his heart, he gave benediction. When we give benediction from the heart, that is very, very powerful. We always want to get benediction from our superiors. You know? That's why you see in India, the little children, what do? They come in the morning, they bow down and touch their parents' feet. So automatically they feel very happy in their heart, and they get, Oishman Bala, that you live for a long time. So Bhakivati Bhava, you become very fortunate. So that benediction that comes out from the heart, that is very powerful. And he was so happy. He said, Lali, whatever you cook, that will be just as sweet as nectar, and anyone who tastes your cookie will never suffer from any disease. So when the Vrishbhatis heard that Radharani got this benediction from Durvas Muni, they all love Nandalala more than their own sons. They generally be like our own children more than others' children, but this is a special feature of Braj, that the Vrishbhatis, they like Nandalala more than their own child. So when they heard this, they all insisted, because the parents are always worried about their children. But we don't want to go to Kumbh Mela. They may get cold and get sick and get bronchitis and who knows what. Or when you're coming here, right, and you told your parents you're going to India, they said, no, there's so many diseases. You're all very happy here, aren't you? But all your grandparents told like that, don't take her there, she's going to get sick and this and that, so many. You're always worried about the children. This is the parents' nature. So, but they worry more about Nandalala than their own parents and their own children. And they thought, if he eats Radharani's cooking, he'll never get any disease. That means he'll live for a very long time. We'll enjoy his association for a long time. We'll be very, very happy. So they all insisted against Mother Jatila and Sister Kutila's objections that she come to Nandagram to cook every day for Nandanandan. Oh, this is generally not the proper etiquette that someone goes to another man's house and cooks. But anyway, this is going on. So Radharani's there in the corner. One time, she cooked very nicely. And she decided to stick around to see how Nandanandan was enjoying her cooking. So she was peeking just from the corner of the window. There's a special room where all the cowherd boys sit down, and Mother Rohini and Mother Yasoda, assisted by Dinista. Dinista's very, very clever. She always somehow or other makes sure that she gets some of Krishna's chewed remnants and ties it in the corner of her sari to take back to Javad. So they sit all the cowherd boys down and they serve them out. So Radharani was peeking there. That day she made Manuhar Ladus. You know Manuhar? Har means to steal away. And Mana means the heart. Huh? Heart enchanting Ladus. Manuhar Ladus. So she was very anxious to see if Nandanandan will enjoy them. So Nandanandan, he also saw that Srimati Radhika is peeking from the corner of the window. In the corner of his eye he saw. And he saw there's these nice ladus on his plate, Manuhar ladus. So he picked up one of those ladus. Very dramatically, he popped it in his mouth with a big smile, and then suddenly, he made a horrible face. Radharani was so frightened. So then he slid all of those ladus over onto Sridham's plate. Now Sridham saw that all of Lala's ladus has come on his plate. Immediately, ping, 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 he began eating them like this. Then Radharani, oh, this rascal is just teasing. And the special feature of Radharani's cooking is that when she's in Javat, she's in the Biraha Agni. You know Biraha? Separation. Agni means fire. The Gopigas, they make nice bed just to satisfy her and cool her down. Beautiful little bed with jasmine flowers and malati flowers, and they put chandan paste on it. And as soon as Radharani lies down, it all turns into dust from the fire of separation. But when she comes to Nandagram to cook for her beloved, she sits down, the gopikas have come, and there's 50 little chulas, 50 little ovens, all burning bright, everything's all chopped up and ready to go. She just has to sit down and cook, and she sits down in the middle of 50 ovens, and she's so cool and calm and happy to be in Nandagram, in the village of her beloved, that not even one bead of perspiration comes on her forehead. Not one bead of perspiration comes on her forehead. So this is a very auspicious place, Nandagram. And so many wonderful pastimes have taken place here. Down below is Pavan Sarovar. We told this story in Kumbh Mela, just just to prove that we didn't come here for taking bath. We were there for preaching. Because Pavan Saro has a very interesting history. One time, Nanda Maharaj, he excavated this huge lake. When the kund gets too big, then we call it a sarovar. So that was known as Nanda Sarovar. So one day, again Lala saw that Mother Yasoda is making all kinds of funny bhojan today. Just like we heard before, all these little fried things and maybe some nice muri with peanuts in it and so many things and all these funny things. And Lala went, Maya, oh Maya, what kind of funny bhojan are you making today? What kind of funny bhojan are you making today? Lala, your Baba is going on pilgrimage. Acha Maya, and where is he going? Where is Baba going, Maya? Where is he going? Lala, he's going to Prayag. Acha Maya, where's Prayag? Where's Prayag? Oh Lala, you asked too many questions. Go ask your Baba. So he went, Baba, Baba, oh Baba, Baba, where are you going, Baba? Where are you going, Baba? Lala, I'm going to Prayag. Acha Baba, and where is that, Baba? Where is that? Lala, this is a very, very special holy tirth where Ganga, Jamuna, and Saraswati join together in Sangam. When two rivers join together, we call it Sangam. Just like that one is called Triveni, because three rivers are coming together. It's called Triveni Sangam. Just like we're all sitting here for hearing Krishna Katha. So this is Satsang. We've all sung, we've all come together for hearing Satsang, hearing eternal knowledge. Krishna Katha. Acha Baba? Baba, Baba, today you shouldn't go. You should go tomorrow. Today is very inauspicious day, but tomorrow is Akshay Tritiya. On your calendar, Vaishnava calendar, you'll see beginning of Chandan Yatra. This is Akshay Tritiya. Comes in the summertime. Beginning of the summertime, Akshay Tritiya. And Akshay. Shai means to diminish. So Akshay means that which never diminishes. So this is a very, very special day for starting anything. Like Baba's, well, I was telling Baba, you go tomorrow, it's Akshay Tritiya, it's a good day to start your journey. So people, they start their business on that day. They have a big festival to start their business. They do Griha Pravesh on that day, first entrance into the house. If you want to come to Nandagram to see the festival, then you have to book your taxi a long time in advance, because that day everybody's booked the taxis for marriages. Because they also want Chai, Akshay, that should not go down, that should go happily ever after. So there's so many marriages done on that day. So, Lala told Baba, you should go tomorrow. So Baba said, all right Lala, since you're asking, I will go tomorrow. So next day, Nanda Maharaj, he went down to Pavan Sarovar to take his bath early in the morning about Mangalarti time, like he did every day. When he got there, he saw there was one great big personality just rolling in the dust of Braj and laughing. Wah ha ha ha! Wah ha ha! Then he would take bath, then he would roll in the dust and laugh. Wah ha ha! Then he would take bath like that. He never saw this person before. He came there every morning. He went there and he said, Maharaj, who are you? He said, Baba, I'm Prayag. And Baba said, Prayag? I don't know any Prayag around here. Not from here. Are Baba, not from here. I'm Prayagraj, the king of all the tears, where Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati join together in Sangam. Acha? Is it? And why have you come here? Are Baba, all year long everybody come and putting their pap on me. You know pap? Sin. Just like in West, we call Father Papa. Oh, Papi. Papi means sinful. Papa means sin, and Papi means sinful. Now in India also, Papi. So, Pap means sin. He said, everybody putting their Papa means, so one day in the year, on this Akshay Tritiya day, I come here, roll in this dust of Braj, take bath in the sarovar and become Pavana. You know Pavana? Pavana means purified. Acha? Is it? Then he looked on the other side of Pavan Sarovar. He saw so many beautiful ladies were there, with so beautiful, costly silk saris, with so much gold embroidery, not like his simple, although they also have gold embroidery, but not like that. It was a very different type of, and ladies he never saw before, all rolling in the dust and laughing and taking bath in the kund. And so he went over there, he said, Matajis, who are you? Somebody said, I'm Godavari. Somebody said, Narmada. Somebody said, Ganga. Somebody said, Saraswati. Somebody Kuru Jangala. Somebody said, Kaveri. Like this, all the sacred rivers of the universe were there. He said, Matajis, why have you come here? Are Baba, all year long, everyone putting their pap on us, we come here this one day, this Akshaya Tritiya day, we roll in this dust of Braj, we take bath in this sarovar, and we become pavana, purified. Acha? Is it? So then Nanda Maharaj, he took his bath, he went back up to Nanda Baba, and by that time Lala had woken up. He said, Baba, Baba, now you're going, Baba, now you're going, Baba, now you're going. Hey, Lala, now I'm not going. Acha? Why is that, Baba? Why is that? Lala, every place I wanted to go, they all came here today, so I should take trouble to go there. So after that, this sarovar became known as Pavan Sarovar. And so by taking, we don't have to go all the way to Kumbh Mela to take bath. We can just go to Nandagram, take bath, and even Prayag goes there to take bath. So we weren't there in Kumbh Mela for taking bath. We were there for bathing everyone in the nectar of the holy names, and the nectar of prasadam, and the nectar of Srila Prabhupada's books. Three things we were doing. So that's Pavan Sarovar. Then a little ways down from Pavan Sarovar, we find another little place called Brindakund, where Brindadevi eternally resides. We saw Brindadevi where? In Kamyavan. But that Brindadevi came from Vrindavan town and to Radhakund, then to Kamyavan, and then when Govindadevi went, she remained there. But the eternal place where Brindadevi resides is here at Brindakund. In Bhakti Ratnakar, which is the original book about Braj Prakama, when they're going, then he says, just see on the western side of Nandagram Parvat, the place where Brindadevi remains and organizes all the wonderful leelas of Braj. So Brindakund were directly on the western side. Because that day, 21st March, coming up, and 21st September, when day and night are equal, if you're sitting right in front of Brindadevi's temple, you can watch the sun come up directly behind the temple towers. So sun comes up where? In the east. We're on the western side. Just on the western, exactly on the western side. And we can watch. We hear about the sun moving north and south, but we live in big cities, we never see. But there you can watch that the sun goes all the way across Nandagram Hill to this side in the wintertime, and in the summertime comes all the way back, passes Nandagram Hill, goes way over on this side. It moves like this much. That much arc you can watch it move every day coming in. But that 21st March and 21st September, the whole sky becomes pinkish, just like Radharani's lotus feet. Then suddenly the whole sky becomes golden like Mahaprabhu. And this big orange orb appears, right silhouetting. The temple is completely blacked out, and you just see this big orange orb behind it coming directly behind. The next day it moves. Every day it moves like this. Then it stays over here for some time, coming up, then gradually comes back very quickly, goes over here, then stays over here for some time, and then comes back. So here Brindadevi stays and arranges all the pastimes of Braj. And she has got one beautiful parrot named Daksha. And Daksha, he has 1 lakh of disciples. And they fly all over Braj and come back and tell Brindadevi everything that's going on. So this is the BIA, Brindadevi Intelligence Agency. She knows everything that's going on, who's talking to who, who's going where, who's with whom. Like that, everything that's going on, and therefore she can arrange all of the leelas of Braj. And this she does. Sometimes people criticize. No, it's Purnamasi. But Purnamasi is the guru. She's the guru of all the Vrishbasis, and especially of Vrindadevi. So we see the guru, what does he do? He just sits, right? The disciple runs around. So Vrindadevi, of course, is all going under the direction of Purnamasi. But Vrindadevi, she's the one that runs all over the place and arranges everything, and she keeps little go-downs here and there, and she decides what color the flowers will have, what scents they'll have, what songs the birds will sing, what birds will be there, what trees will be there, what flowers will be there, what people will be there, what roles they'll play, everything. And she keeps little go-downs all over Braj. Sometimes it's very hot and Krishna needs a big turban, and immediately she comes out with a big turban. Sometimes Krishna wants to dress up as the Gauri deity, so then she's got a little warehouse where she's got yellow paint and a big red sari, and Krishna dresses up like the Gauri deity, like this. All over Braj, she arranges everything. She's like the supreme temple commandress of Braj. And she stays here in this place, at Vrindakund, very, very special place. Somehow that is just like, we see her expansion is Tulsi Devi. The same way that Radharani expands herself as all the Lakshmis, so Vrindadevi expands herself as Tulsi Devi. And we see that Srila Prabhupada, he made Tulsi Devi famous all over the world. And we see also that Srila Prabhupada, he made Lord Jagannath famous all over the world. So we see that Jagannath, we were just at Jagannath temple the other day, this Jagannath temple came to Srila Prabhupada. So in the same way, he made Tulsi Devi or Vrindadevi famous. He made Vrindavan famous all over the world. So this Vrindadevi temple has come to ISKCON, and we're trying to do a little seva there. In fact, right now construction is going on. Even I haven't seen. I've been at Kumbh Mela. I'm so anxious to get back and see what's going on. Little tiny temple. This is out in the forest, a very peaceful place. Just like I was talking to my godbrother Tulsi Das the other day. And I was saying, have you been to Vrindavan? He said, no, this is my place. It's nice, and of course it's developing here, but here is nice and peaceful. And in the old, I just remember Vrindavan from the old days, when Raman Reti was way out in the middle of nowhere, and people wondered why you're building a temple out there. So I said, well, that's why I'm developing this little Vrindakund place. We can go, you can sit there, and just, it's so, always so peaceful, and you hear the birds and the kokilas, and the dogilas. Then we got this funny little one. She's completely black with a little white breast, and she walks always around the kund, you know, and she makes the funniest sound. You hear them also over here by the kund. And whenever two of them meet in the morning, that sound is practically imitable. Imitatable. Huh? And of course we have the doves chanting Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham. And then that very bright blue bird. You've seen that blue bird that looks, all of a sudden he just leaps up into the air, and you see this iridescent blue flash like that. This is the kingfisher. And he goes much faster, I can't do it. But
what is it called?
Kingfisher. And then there's one that's a striped pied fisher. He looks just like a zebra. Black and white stripes. And he comes and they just sit there right over the water, completely stationary without even moving, you know. And all of a sudden they pull their wings in and just boom, and come up with a little fish and go sit in a tree and so all these little things we can. So we're trying to develop this place like this. So this is Vrindakund, where so many, all the pastimes are arranged. So we just heard about how Purnamasi was the guru of all the Vrishbasis, and we were telling one story the other day, yesterday, that I said I would finish today, when Pili Pokar, Radharani, washed her hands, and they all understood what that was all about. So then Vrishabhanu and Kirtita, they sent this huge tray of jewelry back to Nandagram. When everyone saw this big tray of jewelry coming in underground, then they understood this means that the betrothal has been accepted. And all the Nandagram Vasis began dancing in ecstasy, and they all ran up to the palace to congratulate Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and they saw this messenger came with this huge tray of jewelry, and everybody was there. And Lala was wondering, what in the world is going on? And Mother Yasoda, they were looking at this huge, and they said, my goodness, look at all these jewels. Each one of these jewels is worth a king's ransom. Now we have butter and milk and we have some jewelry, but where are we going to find some jewelry to give in return? Because now they've given something, so then the system is and they have to send back some gifts to acknowledge their acceptance of the betrothal. So Lala, he was listening to all this, but then all of a sudden, while they were worrying out loud, they suddenly saw that their whole house was filled with guests, so they began taking care of the guests. So Lala, he was also worried, so he began to pluck all of the jewels out of all the jewelry, all the pearls and diamonds and rubies. He just plucked all the jewels out. And he went out into the field that Nanda Baba had just plowed that morning. And he planted all of the jewels in that field. Meanwhile, after everyone left the palace, they turned around, they looked, they saw all the gold and silver there, but all the jewels had been plucked out. And they know there's only one person who can do such a thing. And when Lala came into the house, Nanda Maharaj said, Lala, we'll give you so many milk sweets and lots of nice soft butter. And you won't get any trouble. Just tell us one thing. What happened to all the jewels? No, Baba. I'll tell you what I did. I'm not trying to hide anything. I heard you talking. So I took them and I planted them in the field. That ain't work. Foolish boy. Don't you know? Pearls don't grow in the ground. They come from the ocean. No, Baba. This is Braj. I know they'll grow. Come on, Baba. Come on, come. And he took Nanda Maharaj by the finger. He said, come on, Baba. Let's go, Baba. Let's go, Baba. So they went there just a little ways from Nandagram. There's a place called Muktakund. Mukta means, or Motikund. Mukta in Sanskrit means pearl. So this in Hindi we say Motikund. So this is Motikund. And they came there, and so many little creepers were growing, and so many beautiful jewels and pearls, and every time they collected so many jewels and had them set in gold and silver, they had to send a whole bullock cart back to Barsana to acknowledge the acceptance. So in Barsana, they saw this bullock cart full of jewelry coming. They knew that everyone was so ecstatic that just imagine, we're going to get Vrishabhanu and Kirtita as our relatives. They'll become our in-laws and everything. Oh, Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj will become our in-laws. Everyone was so ecstatic and so happy. Meanwhile, just we were on the western side of Brindadevi's place. On the eastern side is Purnamasi's place, Purnamasi's Gupa. And Purnamasi, she was sitting there watching how this whole thing just by itself, it just sort of unfolded. This pastime, even beyond her control. She said, what in the world is going on? How, if Radha and Krishna become married, then the whole Leela of Braj is finished. Huh? We were singing the other day, Jai Radha, Jai Krishna, what is that? Huh? Parakiya Bhave, Brajete, Prachar. This Parakiya Bhav, that is the essence of Braj. If she just becomes a husband, they just become husband and wife, then it's just like succuras. It's just, there's no taste in the whole thing. All the sweet Madhurya pastimes will be finished. And she was just thinking, now what in the world? This thing just sort of just unfolded all by itself. She began to meditate what to do. At that time, all the Vrishvasis, they thought, let us go to Mother Purnamasi. Because she's the guru, and without the guru's permission, they don't do anything in Braj. And whatever Purnamasi says, that's law. She's the siksha guru for all the Vrishvasis. So, they went to Mother Purnamasi to get her blessings, seek her blessings for the wedding. And Mother Purnamasi, she began to think. And she pulled out her 500 megahertz computer, did her little astrological calculation. The configurations right now for marriage is very, very bad. This is not an auspicious time at all. And if we study the two charts, this time is also not, this is very inauspicious time for these two people. If they were married at this time, you know, there'll be lots of fights, this marriage will never last. So I think we wait for a while, and then, because after all, they're just children. I mean, after all, they're just children. They're not at all marriageable age. I think we should wait some time. Then we'll call Garga Rishi here. He will give the final analysis of the whole charts. But for now, I think we just sort of shelve this whole idea of marriage, because they're just little children, and it's not an auspicious time. Their charts are not an auspicious place. In this way, she wound down all the enthusiasm of the Brijabasis and increased all of our bliss, because we get to hear all of these wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, everything would have been finished. And we hear more about that tomorrow when we go to Javat. But anyway, we'll just stop on that theme right here. So then, on the northern side of Nandagram, there's a very special forest called Asheshurban. The place of Lord Shiva. Because we know this hill is incarnation of Lord Shiva. So when Nanda Maharaj, first they were living in Gokul, now he moved over here. So one day Lord Shiva came to get darshan of Nanda Lala. Lord Shiva, ye lal salayak, Nanda Lala ka... Nanda Lala ka darshan hoga. He came with this lalsa, this idea that I will get Lala's darshan. So we know he's got his little damru. So Lord Shiva came walking up the path and Nanda Bhavan playing on his damru. So Mother Yasoda, she heard all this racket, she came outside, she saw some sadhu was standing there, some yogi, his whole body was covered with rock. You know rock? Ash. I will see you, he will become frightened, you please go away. But Maya, I came here, I'm going to sit here until he comes outside. Then Mother Yasoda came outside, she said, look Baba, I know all of you Babas, you only came here for one thing, that we described the other day, these nice thick rotis, huh? With ghee on top of them melting away, you know. She gave him a big stack of rotis. Now you take these rotis and go away. You're not going to sit here all day. You only came here for one thing. You take these rotis and be happy. So Lord Shiva, he went away. He became Nirash. You know Asha? You have any friend named Asha? Yes, somebody has. Asha means hope. So, but he became Nirash. Hopeless and helpless. So he went to this forest, Asheshurvan, because he became known as Asheshur, the Lord of all hopes, because he was keeping a very special hope within his heart. He was hopeless, but he was keeping, somehow hoping against hope, that somehow he will get Nandalala's darshan. So this is the king of all hopes. So he became Asheshur Mahadev. So he was sitting in the forest. Meanwhile, Lala, he knew that his best devotee, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Lord Shiva is the best devotee of Krishna. He knew that his best devotee came, he couldn't get darshan. He began to cry. And Mother Yasoda, she tried so many ways, and all the gopis came and they tried so many things, and they tried and tried, nothing would satisfy him. And finally there was one very old gopi who was very wise. And she said, somebody has put spell on your lala. In Hindi we say nazar. Evil eye. Somebody has put evil eye nazar on your lala. So who came here today? The Mother Yasoda said, well, Upananda came and Sananda came, and one yogi came, very horrible yogi with ash all over his body and sam, bichu, makri, all these things. He said, that yogi has put nazar on your lala. So where did he go? He said, I don't know, I gave him some rotis and sent him away. So then the Braja Gopis, they spread out all over the four sides of Nandagram looking for that yogi. Finally out there Asheshravan, they found this yogi meditating there in the forest. And this Asheshravan is a very, very sweet place. It's a very, very dense forest. Even in the middle of the summer when it's so hot, it's always cool in that place. And there's nobody there, and there's a beautiful tank there, beautiful lake, their natural lake. Such a sweet little place. He was sitting there meditating. And all the gopis came and they said, Chalare yogi nanda bhavame yas mat mahabulave baki nazar ko baki lala ko nazar lagi to pe rai noon karave. So, chalare yogi, you know, chalo. Chalare yogi nanda bhavame yas mat mahabulave. Mother Yasoda is calling you. Huh? You just, somehow or other, rai means mustard. Somehow they take mustard oil and they make some sort of a preparation to get rid of that nazar. Huh? So you just somehow or other make the remedy to get rid of this evil eye. This spell that you put on Lala. So they brought Lord Shiva there. Mother Yasoda opened the door. Lala saw Lord Shiva. Then he smiled. Then Mother Yasoda slammed the door. Again, Lala started crying. She came outside. She said, Baba, now you got your darshan. Now you take back your spell. And he said, Maya, there's only one way to get rid of this nazar. So, batao, tell me, what is it? He said, when your Lala will put his foot on my head, then the spell will be finished. And Mother Yasoda said, Salam, Bichu, no, nahi, nahi. Mother Yasoda said, nahi. Nahi means? And all the gopis said, ha. Ha means yes. In Hindi, when we want to say yes, we say ha. Sometimes I hear the people saying, ha. One time I heard a whole conversation. First time I went on Life Membership preaching, we went to one Life Member's house. Phone rang, he picked up the phone. I personally witnessed this conversation. Ha? Ha. Ha? Ha. 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 G. 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 Acha. 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 Ha. 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 Namaskar. Whole conversation. So ha means yes. And Mother Yasoda said nahi. And all the gopis said? Ah. And Mother said nahi, nahi. And all the gopis said? Ah. So the ha's won. So then she opened up the door. She picked up Lala. Lala put his foot on the head of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva began to dance. He's Nataraj. He began to dance. And Lala, seeing Lord Shiva dancing, he began to laugh. Huh? And we know when we see little boys laugh, huh? It's so sweet. When we see their faces laughing, it's so sweet. So, Mother Yasoda, she saw Lala was so happy to see Lord Shiva. Then she told him, Re re yogi nanda bhava me brij me bason kije. Jab jab mera lala robe tab tak darsan dije. That re re, instead of chalo, she said re re means do you stay. Re re yogi nanda bhava me, you stay here in nanda bhava. Brij me bason kije. Now you do your bas in bridge. You forget about that kailash. Brij me bason kije. Jab jab mera lala robe, whenever my lala cries, tab tak darsan dije. Then you come and give your darshan. So, Lord Shiva, he said, I got two conditions. This is not unconditional devotional service. Two conditions are there. See, what is that? That whenever you bathe your Lala, then you bring that water and you pour it on my head. We see every day all the ladies go and they pour water on Lord Shiva. He wants what water he wants? That Charanamrit. And whenever you feed your Lala, then that uchis, those remnants, that mahaprasad, then you bring that to me. Then I will stay here and no demon will ever come inside this nandagram. So we go there, we see in the corner, Nanda Maharaj's palace, Nandeshwar Mahadev is there. He's staying there till today. They take the charanamrit, they pour it on top of his head, and whenever they make the Rajbhog offering, then they come and bring the plate to Lord Shiva, like this. This is a proper way to worship the demigods, by the way, is that we first offer the bhog to Lord Krishna, we offer the prasad to all the demigods, like that. So in this way it is going on. And no demon. Well, all the demon pastimes will hear some, this place, that place, here, there, and everywhere, but in the underground, it was a very peaceful place. such a peaceful place, just beside Nandagaham is Terkadam. Actually, before we get to Terkadam, we missed one place. We were coming down the road after Nandabetak. There was another little place called Lalitakund. Now, this is a very special place where Lalita Sakhi, she arranges the meeting of Radha and Krishna. In fact, there's a very beautiful swing there, Jula. You go there. This place also is, it's always springtime in this place. And very big, deep kund with old stone walls all around. Very natural kund, very peaceful place. Lots of old, old gnarly tamal trees growing there on the bank of that kund. And huge kadamba tree, old ancient kadamba trees there. And this beautiful little swing is there. Now one time, Radha and Krishna were sitting and they were discussing about Narad Muni, our good old friend Narad Muni. So Nandanandan was trying to explain to Brisbano Nandini that this fellow, he's very, very clever fellow. He goes over to this side, he tells something, then he goes over to that side, he tells something, and he makes a big fight between the two parties. So you should never, ever listen to this fellow. Otherwise, he'll make a big fight between us and our whole relationship will be finished. And Radharani said, what can possibly come between us? How is it possible? Anyway, I'm not going to tell you later I told you so. I'm giving you the warning. So one time, Narad Muni was flying over Braj and he was singing the glories of Lord Krishna, and Krishna called him nearby and he was singing so sweetly, Narada Muni Bajai Bina Radhika Ramana Name. He's always singing Radhika Ramana, Radhika Ramana. In the movies they say you only see him chanting Narayan Narayan, but actually he chants Radhika Ramana. So he was singing so sweetly, Lord Krishna told, my dear Narad, O Muniraj, whatever benediction you like, you may take. He said, no, I am simply happy singing your glories. I don't do this for it. No, you please take some benediction. You must have some desire in your mind. He said, well, this place, Lalitakund, is so beautiful. And there's a beautiful swing here. It would be nice sometime if I saw you and Lalita sitting in this swing. That's the only desire I have in my heart. So Krishna said, Tatastu, so be it. It will be. And then Narad Muni left. So one day, they were sitting in that Lalitakund and they were waiting for Srimati Radharani to come. Now legend has it that women are always late. I don't know, every culture of the world they have this legend. I don't know what the women's ministry thinks about it, but anyway. So Radharani was late. And they were all sitting and sitting. Suddenly, Lord saw that Narad Muni was sitting there, and he saw Lalita Sakhi is sitting here. He remembered his benediction. He sat down on the swing and he told Lalita, now you please sit down next to me. Lalita said, no, because gopis, they never have any desire within their hearts ever to it. Their only desire is to meet Radha and Krishna together. Somehow, Nandanandan, he got all the gopis, they come on, put her here. Somehow all the gopis got into it and they forcibly sat down Lalita next to Krishna, and she was swinging together so sweetly, and Narad Muni was taking his darshan. He was just so happy. And he went flying off in direction of Barsana. And he was singing very sweetly, Lalita Krishna, Lalita. You don't know what's going on. You're sitting here so complacently and you think that Lalita Sakhi is your best friend, don't you? Maybe in front of you she's your best friend, behind your back. You don't know. You should go there immediately and see what's going on in Lalitakund. Without even finishing her makeup, Radharani, she ran there to Lalitakund. And as soon as she came, she saw Lalita and Krishna sitting in the swing together, swinging so happily. Immediately she became very angry. Angry mudra means hands on the hips and toes tapping. Then Lalita Sakhi, suddenly she caught sight and said, oh no, now what will happen? Because whenever Radharani gets angry, it's Lalita Sakhi who will eventually arrange everything, and says, now my lady is even angry with me and I didn't do anything. Now what will happen? She's shocked. And then the Nandini went there and she said, shoo, get away you rascal. You are completely not only black on the outside, you're black on the inside, you're black through and through. I'm not going to have anything more to do with this black fellow. Don't come near me. Shoo, don't try to touch my feet. Shoo, like that. And Krishna, he began to beg so sweetly at Radharani. He said, no, our relationship is finished. You're just a cheater. You have cheated me so many times. I don't want to have anything more to do with you. And Krishna began to slowly tell the whole story of Narad Muni's benediction. And Radharani got big shock. And he said, I told you before that if you have listened to this fellow, then Radharani got big shock. So this is Lalita Kund. So now we'll go over to a very, very wonderful place called Tirkadamba. So this place is, just by the name, you can understand so many beautiful Kadamba trees are there. There's a beautiful kund is there. And this place is very special. Here in the evening, Nandanandan, he would climb up in the Kadamba tree. This big Kadamba tree is there, he would climb up. And holding his left hand hooked around a limb of that tree, just like a little black serpent has curled around the tree, he will play a beautiful melody on his flute to call all the cows home. Now, we heard Nanda Maharaj, he has 9 lakhs of cows, 900,000 cows. And they're basically divided into four main groups. Black cows, white cows, red cows, and yellow cows, golden colored cows. Then, in each of those groups, there's 25 subgroups. So 4 times 25 means 100. Then there's 8 special groups with tilak on the forehead, chandan colored cows, speckled cows, with star on the forehead, mridangamukhi, this I haven't seen yet, cow with a face like a mridanga, then singmukhi, shaped like a lion, like this. There's 8 very special groups of cows, 108 altogether groups. And all of the cows have their names. And Krishna knows all of the cows. Just like the white cows, some of them are called Davali. Daval means white. Davali or what is another name? Hamsi. The swans are always white. Davali, Hamsi. Like this. Then the red cows, Kumkum. Kumkumi, she has one cow, Kumkumi, and Aruni. Arun is that Udilo Aruna, that pinkish color in the morning. Aruni, Kumkumi, Saraswati, golden cows, Gauri, Pitambari, Pingala, Gange. We saw in Kumbhamela, Ganga is always very golden color. And the black cloud, Shamala, Krishangi. Kali, like this, all these different names. And then we have the, with the different kinds of tilak, we have chitra, and like this, dirga tilak, and chitra tilak, and so many different names, all in madangamukhi, singamukhi, like this, so many, all the names. And Krishna, he's got a very special mala. Just like we've got our jap mala with 108 beads. Krishna has got a very special mala with 108 jewels. And what does he do? He waits to see that when the leader of each group comes, he touches her nose, and then he counts one bead. And then next herd comes, he counts one bead, and this way he makes sure that all the cows are there. Now if anyone's missing, he knows all the names of the 900,000 cows. And he'll go back up in the tree. Oh, Davali, Kumkumi, Saraswati, Hansi. No, those cows, they heard Krishna's flute. They know they're supposed to come home. Hmm? They know they're supposed to come home. Huh? But they didn't come because they know that Lala will climb back up in the tree and he'll call me by the name. They just want to hear Nanda Nandan's sweet voice calling their name. Can you imagine if Krishna came and says, "Oh Tulsi, come here. Huh? Oh Venurati, come here. Ladini Radha, come here. Like the Eka Chakra, come here. Huh? Vijay, come here." You imagine Krishna's by his own mouth calling your name. So the cows, they know, they heard Krishna's flute, but they want to hear Nanda Nanda and calling them by the name, so they waited. So he calls them, then they all come to this place. Now Terkadam is very strategically located because it's right between Nandagram and Javat. In fact, it's right on the path going between Nandagram and Javat. So we know that Radharani has to come every day to cook in Nandagram. So she comes by this path. Actually, it's not easy. Dhanishta goes there and she has to beg and plead because Jatila and Kutila, they're not at all happy that Radharani leaves and goes to Nandagram. But somehow, just as Dhanishta is so expert, just like Garuda can snatch a snake from anywhere, so somehow they snatch Radharani from that dungeon of Javat. And as they walk through the town, with Lalita and Visakha on the side and Dhanishta in the front, then they all have their saris pulled way down over their heads and they're very quiet. All you can hear is the ching, 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 their bangles tinkling and they're very quiet and their saris are pulled way down over their heads. But as soon as they get a little ways out of the village, then they just pull their saris back and they begin to laugh and joke. And this melodious laughing and joking of the young girls just sprinkles a hold of Braj with the sweetest nectar. And they're walking down the path laughing and joking and having good old times. As long as they're there, then they're very calm and quiet. As soon as they get out, boom! Huh? So they're walking down the road and suddenly there's a little fork in the road. And Lalita says, if we go by the left side, that's a longer path. It'll take us through a Sheshravan. But if we go through the right side, there's a big black snake at Terkadam who may harass us. So I think we have plenty of time. We can go by the long route through a Sheshravan. Radha says, I'm not afraid of any black snakes. What are you talking about? Let us go. And she boldly walks into on the path towards Terkadam. So meanwhile, Nanda Nandan is there. He has a beautiful golden stool. He has a beautiful cow there. And he's very absorbed in milking that cow. He's got his little golden bucket there. And he's just looking down. He's got a beautiful turban around his head like that and dressed very sweetly. And now the gopikas, again, they've pulled their shawls, but they're looking from the corners of their eyes, hoping that Nanda Nandan will glance in their direction. But he's just... So they walk they make their skirts, makes, you know, nice noises, and they tinkle all their bells and their little belts, you know. They're all tinkling, and they're just trying to be as obvious as possible. They're hoping for some sort of interaction will take place, you know. And then he's just there... So finally they walk by, and Radharani, she walks just in such a way, sashaying along so that her skirt, just the edge of her skirt, happens to brush against Nanda Nandan. And what is Nanda? He's down there milking his cow. With great expertise, he turns that teat up and right, Radharani's got her shawl pulled halfway over, right past the pump, right in her face, it's all dripping down on her chest, and then he turns with the other teat and squirts all of the gopis, they're all running around, then he gives a swat on the rear end of that cow, she gets frightened and runs off, and this way Radharani is separate from the rest of the gopis, they all run this way, and Radharani runs this way, Krishna runs after Radharani, the other gopis are behind the cow, they can't see what mischief he's doing with Radharani, and then finally when they turn around, and Lalita comes over there and pulls Radharani's hand out of the rascal. He says, "You rascal, we're on our way to cook and you're going to contaminate these pure young, pure-hearted girls who are going to cook, and this is going to be offered to the deity, and you're just a rascal. Now you sit down here and leave us alone. And in a big huff, they all, and Lalita says, you know, tells Radha, see, I told you we shouldn't come by this way. So then they all go off to Nandagram to cook. Now on the way back, they also pass through this way. And on the way, Radharani has a beautiful pearl necklace. Now the special quality of that pearl necklace is those pearls are so highly polished that she can look down at those pearls and see the reflection of Nandanandan in those pearls. So nobody can guess, you know, because she looks at Nandanandan and, you know, somebody may guess. Just like, I can't remember if it's Chandidas or Vidyapati. They have a beautiful song. A beautiful song. It says, Radharani is saying that everyone in Gokul is looking at Nandanandan with their two eyes as he walks along the path. Everyone in Gokul is looking at Nandanandan with two eyes. But I'm so unfortunate, I have to keep one eye on my superiors. And then, of the second eye, I have to keep half of it on those Ninda Karniwalis, those people who do my Ninda, who criticize me. I have to keep one eye on my superiors, one half on those who will criticize me, and with one quarter of my two eyes, I get a little tiny glance. Everybody else is seeing with two eyes, but I can only, one eye, I can, just one half of one eye, I can get a little glance. And then I'm getting five times danda, I'm getting five times punishment. I'm getting five times punishment. This Cupid is sending his five arrows. By that tiny, I'm just making it, everybody else is seeing with two eyes. I'm only making quarter apparat, but I'm getting five times danda. So she's got this special necklace. She can look down in these pearls and see Nandanandan's reflection in those pearls. So she's playing with that pearl necklace. They come to Tirkadam. She snaps it like this. And all of a sudden, pearls go flying all directions. So all the gopis are down there, and Radharani, she's sitting there. You know, very shyly looking, picking up pearls, but they're all glancing, because they're all gone all over the place near Tirkadam, and Lala's sitting there, and they're all just, they're picking up the pearls, and it's just another excuse to be, stay there, linger there a little longer in Nandanandan's sphere. This is a very sweet place. In fact, it may be Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, somewhere at the end of one of his books, he writes, I'm sitting under a beautiful kadamba tree on sudden such a day, it's this day of the moon, of this half of the moon, and I'm sitting under a kadamba tree and I'm finishing this book. So maybe Bhakti, some book, he ends his book like that. He gives little hints where he was in Braj, like that. So it's a very, very peaceful, beautiful place. Rupa Goswami used to sit here and write. And that Tirkadam, that kadamba tree, sometimes Rupa Goswami, he'd be writing about the viraha, the separation of Radha and Krishna. And when he was writing about the separation of Radha and Krishna, then this tree, just like a human being, he would be crying, his leaves would all fall down, just like little tears to the ground. Till he was, even whatever season it was, he would just lose his leaves. Just like we saw last night, there was so much wind and all the kadamba trees made a big mess like that, so all the leaves will come down. And then again, when he writes about the reunion of Radha and Krishna, then all of a sudden this kadamba tree, so many fresh sprouts will come and little beautiful new green leaves will come and then little flower buds will come and they'll develop into beautiful, fully blossomed, sweetly scented kadamba flowers and just become just like, whatever the season, it will become just like spring when Rupa Goswami is writing. So this is the power of Rupa Goswami, that even very lower species of life whose consciousness is very limited, even he becomes influenced by such great personalities as Rupa Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami, he's very special. Twice, not just once, but twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll find Mahaprabhu making the same statement about Rupa Goswami. And in Kumbh Mela, Every week we went to visit that place called Dash Ashwamedh Ghat, where Rupa Goswami sat with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Magh Mela and for 10 days received instruction from him. Now one time, Mahaprabhu was chanting something in the Rath Yatra that sounded like a young girl calling to a young boy. And when Rupa Goswami heard that, he immediately sat down and he wrote a beautiful verse. And after writing that verse, now Rupa Goswami's writing is exquisitely beautiful. It's described just like strings of pearls. In fact, if you go to the Vrindavan Research Institute, you can see copy. They have a little copy on display there, Rupa Goswami's handwriting in that place. So he stuck this, and he wrote this on a little palm leaf. He stuck it in the thatch of his roof. So he had so many thatched roofs, he just stuck it there, and he went off to take his bath in the sea. Meanwhile, Mahaprabhu came there with Swarup Damodar. And seeing that beautiful pearl-like, string of pearl-like writing of Rupa Goswami on this palm leaf, he pulled it out and he began to read it. And he was astounded and he showed it to Swarup Damodar, who began to read it. The beautiful verse he's composed that, you are the same young boy, I am the same young girl, the same breezes from the Jamuna are coming. But I don't want to, I long to be back in Vrindavan. Beautiful verse when Radharani was at Kurukshetra and she saw Krishna dressed up like a prince and king. She was thinking, you're the same young boy, I'm the same young girl, but all this I just want to be in Vrindavan by the bank of the Jamuna with the Kadamba tree. Like that. So when Mahaprabhu saw this, he said, how did Rupa Goswami understand my... Nobody can understand what Mahaprabhu was singing in Rath Yatra. And he said, how Rupa Goswami has understood my heart. That moment, Rupa Goswami came and he fell down at Mahaprabhu's feet. And Mahaprabhu asked in front of Rupa Goswami to Swarup Damodar, how has Rupa Goswami understood my heart? And Swarup Damodar says, unless you've bestowed your mercy upon him, it's not possible. And Mahaprabhu says, yes, I met Rupa Goswami in Prayag, and seeing him to be a fit personality, I have bestowed my entire mercy upon him. I have bestowed my entire mercy upon him. Another time, Rupa Goswami was writing Vidagdha Madhav and Lalita Madhav, and he came there with Ramananda Roy, another expert rasic devotee, relishing transcendental mellows. And Mahaprabhu picked up the book and he showed it to Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy began to read, and he was astounded. He said, this is not poetry. This is a flow of nectar, so sweet nectar. It is it's unbelievable. He says, nobody can write like this unless he has received your mercy. Nobody could possibly write beautiful poetry like this unless he has received your mercy. And Mahaprabhu again says, yes, I met Rupa Goswami at Prayag, and seeing him to be a fit personality, I have given I've bestowed upon him my entire mercy. So we're very, very extremely fortunate that we are followers of Rupa Goswami, because Mahaprabhu has given his full mercy. All the intimate, confidential topics of Ras. Like everybody knew about something about bhakti, but this sweet mellow of Braja Bhakti, that was bestowed on Rupa Goswami. Especially since Rupa Goswami, just like Ramananda Roy, he was a little astounded, but he's Lalita. So Lalita is a superior. So our superior, we won't necessarily reveal all of our secrets to our superior. Purnamasi, all these people, they're superiors. They're very respectable persons, very elevated. But Rupa Manjari, we know the Manjaris, they are the most confidential servants. Rupa Goswami is none other than that Rupa Manjari. So to our superiors, we won't reveal everything, but those who are our confidential friends, who are intimate friends, we reveal all the secrets of our heart to them. So Rupa Goswami, he's been bestowed the most, he's none other than Rupa Manjari, so he has all the intimate secrets. So this is the glory of Gaudiya Sampradaya, that we have got. It's not just theoretical knowledge, but these people have seen the Leelas, have experienced the Leelas, they're in the Leelas, and they're giving reports. All their books are giving the reports, what is going on in the spiritual world, what they've seen, what they've experienced, what nectar is going on. Therefore we sing every day, what is that? Sri Chaitanya Manobistam. Manobistam. The innermost desire of the heart. Rupa Goswami, he knows, Sri Chaitanya Manobistam. What is that innermost desire within the heart of Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Manobistam, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale. Therefore, Bhutale, in this world, he is established. The innermost desire of Sri Chaitanya, this Krishna consciousness movement is established by Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manobistam, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapat. I am offering my respects unto that Rupa Goswami. And he is revealed the innermost desire. We wouldn't know. We know there's two sides to Mahaprabhu's Leela. One was delivering this, the Yuga Dharma of Naam Sankirtan, but this Prema Bhakti, that is another side that is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Three desires Krishna had. He doesn't understand. He knows everything in the whole universe. He's the Supreme Lord. He's told in Bhagavad Gita that past, present, everything he knows, but he does not know how much Radharani loves him. What she experiences. How much she loves. Because he's the Lord. She's loving him. So how would he know what is that love? And what she experiences that when she sees him. And what is the taste of all of this? These three desires Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled. And it is Rupa Goswami who has revealed all of this to the world. Otherwise we wouldn't know about this confidential side of Mahaprabhu's Leela. As Sri Chaitanya Manobhi, he knows the innermost heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So offering our respects at this beautiful Bhajan Kutir of Siddha Rupa Goswami, we'll... What time is it? 1:20. So we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll head off to Javat. There's so many, Nandagram is filled with so many Leelas. In fact, there was one very dear, we forgot, Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, right next to Pavan Sarovar, Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. Because Sanatana Goswami, he stayed here and also in Nandagram for some time, writing many books. In fact, one time Rupa Goswami was there in Terkadam, and he was thinking that it's my older brother's birthday today. I would like to give something, but you know, they were just living in the forest. They had nothing. And suddenly, this beautiful little girl appeared. And she very shyly, because Rupa Goswami is living in this beautiful kadamba trees and kokilas were singing. He was sitting in his little kutir, writing his books. So she was very, very shy and alone. She's all alone in the forest. And she came and said, Baba, Baba, there was wedding today and the sweet rice was left over. So my brother said, go give it to some Baba doing his bhajan in the forest. Will you please take this? And then she just ran. She was very shy. Just gave him that pot. And then she ran down the path. And Rupa Goswami thought, wow, this is amazing. I wanted something to offer to my older brother today. So he went over to Pavan Sarovar, to Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. And he offered in the sweet rice, and Sanatana Goswami is also amazed. He knows Rupa Goswami doesn't have anything. He said, where you got the sweet rice? He said, well, just this little girl came, she said there was wedding today. What wedding was there today? Because Sanatana Goswami, he was very dear to all the Brijbasis. Wherever Sanatana Goswami went, you know, when he would come into the village, they would all call out, oh, Baba Gosai has come, Baba Gosai has come. You know, those who were older would touch his hand. Those who were younger would bow down at his feet, like that. Those who were the same age would greet him according to their age, like this. Everyone, oh, Baba Gosai has come. And then he would sit down with all the villagers, and they would feed him nice yogurt and mixed with mystery and so many nice things. And then he would sit. He was the king's minister before. So then, you know, in villages, always there's so much politics going on. And he would sit there and he would listen to both sides and give the judgment, give his opinion of what should be done. And he would hear everything, who got married, who had child, who died, like that, whose business failed, whose crops was the best, and everything he knew. And he would tell, actually, you should plant this crop at this time and this crop at that time. He was very intelligent because he was the king's minister before. So he was very dear. And when he would leave, all the Brijbasis would cry that, oh, Baba's going, why, oh, my dear son, why are you so cruel to us to leave us like this? Those who were equal say, oh, my dear friend, why are you leaving us like this? Those who were younger said, oh, Baba, why are you going away from us? And somehow or other he would convince them to go back to the village. He would wander in the village. So he knew everything. In fact, Raghunath Das Goswami, he writes that I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. I don't even want to have association of the great devotees of the Lord. He said, I just want that the Brijbasis will come and pour all their nonsense talk in my ears. Like that. So Sanatana Goswami, he knew everything that was going on. The Brijbasis told him everything. But marriage, there's no marriage going on today. It's not even marriage season. Then Sanatana Goswami tasted the sweet rice. His hair began to stand on end. It was trembling in his body. His heart was just floating in ecstasy. He said, what? You had some desire within your mind? He said, well, I was just thinking I wanted to offer something to you. You had some desire in your mind. You don't understand. Radharani herself has come. And they both began to cry, thinking that they were so fallen that they had taken service. They wanted to serve Radharani, but they had taken service. And mixed with their tears, they ate this sweet rice, this wonderful sweet rice that Radharani had brought for Sanatana Goswami. So like that, begging at the feet of Rupa and Sanatana, both will end our class here, and tomorrow we'll go to Javat. So is there any questions? Do you have questions?
What's the how?
What's the how? I already described to you how. 3 times I gave description. In English, we call it the boogeyman. Huh? When your parents want to scare you, say, don't go out late at night because the boogeyman will get you. And in Hindi, we call it a how. And if you want to see, then you can go there. There's 3 or 4 of them still there. They've turned into stone. So you can go there to Yasodakund and ask anyone, where's Hau Bilau? And you can see those Hau standing there, very ferocious. Yes? You weren't here yesterday?
I was, but
yeah. Oh, Mother Yasoda was just so lost in thought. It wouldn't be so nice if this little girl would marry my little son. And so she just took turmeric paste and smeared it, because that when they betroth the girl and they both the parents sit down and they finally agree, then they put turmeric on the hands of the girl like that, to show a sign that now she's betrothed. Still it's done. Isn't it? Oh, today we have prasad. So if there's no more questions, and we can all fall down. Yes, one more.
I have
3 questions, my goodness. Somehow or other, in Nectar Devotion, there's something like that. I can only think that it must be some... You know, that was long, long, long time ago when Nectar Devotion was written, and some Sanskrit editor slipped or something. But she's the mother of Sandipani Muni, and Nandimukhi and Madhumangal are her grandchildren. In fact, every day Purnamasi comes with Nandamukhi and they sit down. This is how special Brindakun. Every morning, Nandamukhi and I forgot this detail. Nandamukhi and Purnamasi sit with Brindadevi at Brindakund, and this is where they plan out all the leelas of the day. This is such a special place that all the leela is planned out from here, from Brindakund. But she's like, because in India, when anybody's old, they're grandmother of everyone. Just like you see in Vrindavan, we've got all our different dadus. Huh? There's male dadu, there's MBT dadu, you know. They're all our grandfathers because they're older than us. So in that sense, she's Radharani's grandmother. But Radharani's has one grandmother is Sukada that we saw in Barsana. That's paternal. Dadima, we call. And in just near Radhakund, we missed this place. A little tiny place there called Mukurai. Mukura is her maternal grandmother. That we call what? Nani, huh? One is daddy and one is nani. And a beautiful little temple there. Tiny little temple in Mukurai. Is Radharani Kirtita and Mukura. So Mukura is Kirtita's mother. So in that sense, Purnamasi, she's the elder of everyone, so she's grandmother for everyone. That must be the sense. Because every old lady we call Nani, Daddy, oh Daddy Ma.
The calves in Braj, do they become big?
The? In Braj,
the calves become big or they remain
calves? Well, we saw in the Brahma Vimohan Leela that after 1 year, the cows were on top of Govardhan Hill, and it says the calves that were Krishna and the cowherd boys were herding were already 1 year old and they already had new calves. And those calves were big enough that they weren't supposed to drink milk from the cows anymore. But as soon as the cows saw them, they just ran with their milk bags going kaboom, 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 like this. And all the cowherd men ran down and they were licking their calves and feeding them milk. And the cowherd boys, men came down and they were very angry. But as soon as they saw all the cowherd boys who were actually Krishna himself, they just forgot about all their anxiety and began to take their children on their laps and smell their heads like this. So they became big. Well, 9 lakh is just a, you know, number.
And in the he was teaching the Charanamrita?
And that was his conditions, yeah. Charanamrita and Mahaprasad. And the interesting thing is they bring that plate of Rajbhog offering to, they make a special plate and they bring it there. And right across the street from Brindakund, there's a piece of property that's owned by Muslim family, and their son comes and steals that Mahaprasad every day. He's a famous thief. If you miss anything and if you come to Brindakund and your shoes are missing, it's sure that this little boy has run off with them. So. But every day he comes and he steals that Mahaprasad. Alright, so now we have some nice Mahaprasad here. So first we'll offer our obeisances to that great personality who's established this wonderful Krishna conscious movement in the world to deliver us, that we can come here to these places of Mayapur and Vrindavan.